This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Lesbian and Gay Radio for Melbourne, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, welcome into the studio. Three lovely people, Sergeant Scott Davis, Senior Constable Gabby Tyack, and from Crime Stoppers, Joe Baird. Why have you graced me with your presences?
Because we're lovely.
Because you're lovely.
Do we need any more reason than that?
For about 2.5 years, I've been trying to get the Glows on board to come in and do a bit of a, I guess, sort of like a crime roundup, some connection where the Glows are constantly on air. And today it starts.
Yes. Up until this point, I have been a little bit reluctant, I suppose. And most of that was about being able to have regular content to be able to come on and not talking about the same old thing every time I came onto the radio station. And so I was very fortunate, I suppose. Jo started at Crime Stoppers and she contacted me with this idea about trying to get the content from Crime Stoppers out into the gay and lesbian community. And so I put two and two together and made five and decided, this will really meet with what Paul has been hassling me about for such a long time.
Yes. Scott and Gabby, you're part of the GLOWS, Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. For someone who's never heard of them before, what is it?
My role as a Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer is to reach out to the gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual, intersex community and assist in promotion of Victoria Police and also promote Victoria Police and reporting homophobic crimes.
Scott, your role?
My role's a little bit different. I suppose I have an analysis role, so we're looking at crime trends where we possibly can. Policy recommendations for Victoria Police on the best ways to be able to police the gay and lesbian community. It's also about that liaison role and connection with the community, so we do that through, we have a Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Reference Group, which has representatives from about 10 different community organisations. I organise the major events, police participation at, say, Carnival Day and Pride March and the Chill Out Festival, those sorts of things.
In the studio as well, we've got Joe from Crime Stoppers. How are you going to fit into this?
Crime Stoppers act as an exchange point for information between the police and the public. For those who aren't familiar with the Crime Stoppers program, they can call us and give us any information that they might have on a crime that has happened or is about to happen, and know that that'll be disseminated to the right police department, but without any fear of retribution for themselves, because they don't necessarily have to give us their identity. We don't trace any calls, we don't use caller ID. If people give information over our website, then the data there is also encrypted. So there's no way we can track down their ID unless they want to tell us who they are.
You've never sort of really had a connection before with the gay and lesbian community?
No, not directly.
What will this mean to Crime Stoppers each week?
It's actually really important for us, where it's part of a bigger program that I'm responsible for running, but we've got another gentleman who's been working on new media relationships, and he's sort of been nutting down ethnic communities and multilingual community relationships with the media. And so I'm moving in, and through Scott and Gabby here in the GLOWS, with Joy, hopefully reaching out into the gay and lesbian community and a few other parts of the Victorian community.
Is Crime Stoppers a separate entity from the Victoria Police?
Yes. Crime Stoppers is an international brand. Crime Stoppers Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation who have no recurrent funding and they're completely separate to Victoria Police. However, the operational side of our business in Victoria is run as a Victoria Police unit, so the staff there are employed by Victoria Police.
Has Crime Stoppers worked with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers before?
That's a good question. Not in my time.
Yeah, and I suppose this is one of the things that we'll probably get to a bit later on. Even the content that goes through Crime Stoppers is filtered to such an extent that we possibly wouldn't know if that had occurred.
Because gay crime only started getting reported 2001?
It was recorded. Of course, it's always been reported and probably heavily underreported, but it's always been reported, but recorded specifically as a prejudice-motivated crime that only started in June 2001.
Fantastic. We're currently having a chat to Scott Davis and Gabby Tyack and also Joe Baird from Crime Stoppers. Today, we're going to talk about what actually is a crime. And we're also going to talk about crimes that create crimes.
Yeah. And I suppose another important point is the ability for people to be able to ask questions as well, which we'd take it away. We'd, you know, develop up a bit of a bank of frequently asked questions so that we've got an ability to be able to inform the community. And that could be about gay crime or hate crime. It could be about domestic violence, or it could just be about police practices.
Now, Gabby and Scott, a message in from Susie from West Melbourne. Still a bit unsure what the role of the gay and lesbian liaison officers are. So I was wondering if we could touch on that again.
Okay, if we think from a historical perspective, gay and lesbian liaison officers started as full-time in 2000, and that was Melinda Edwards. Many people will remember Melinda's appointment back then. And it came as a result of a working group between Victoria Police and the Equal Opportunity Commission. And it came from research that was done by the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, which showed continued high levels of violence against the gay and lesbian community, the underreporting of violence, and in some instances, discriminatory practices by Victoria Police against the gay and lesbian community. So that's where it came from, and that's really what the role is about. It's about providing a point of contact for the gay and lesbian community, which had been alienated and isolated from policing because of our past practices. So for people who are victims of crime in general, but if they're a victim of homophobic crime or they're a victim of domestic violence, or in some instances, because of the need to hide a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, they can become vulnerable to being a victim of crime, such as blackmail. The GLOWs have been put in place to try and break down some of the barriers between the victim and the reporting processes that exist within Victoria Police, just to make us more accessible.
It's kind of like a police for gay and lesbian people.
It is. I mean, we're part of Victoria Police, and we are members of Victoria Police, but it's about providing a different mechanism to ensure that the community has some connection to police, because it's fairly well documented that there is a lack of connection to police. There's that continued fear of the way that police will treat people.
How high is it that a gay and lesbian person might be a bit scared to go to the police because of their sexual orientation? Like, is it really that high?
Yeah, I think it's still fairly evident that that exists out there. And a lot of that's about the fear of the way that the police will react. And I don't think it's just about police. I think that's about a lot of services that are provided within the community, that there can be a reluctance to make that disclosure about your sexual orientation for fear of how that may impact on the way that the service is provided to you. And that's certainly a significant issue when people are trying to report crimes to Victoria Police.
Okay, now, Scott, you've been involved with the GLOWs for a long time. Gabby, you less of time than what Scott has.
Although Gabby was a GLOW at Bacchus Marsh in a portfolio position before she came here.
Okay.
So you've been doing that since about 2006, maybe?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, about that long.
So why did you feel that it was necessary for yourself to become a GLOW?
I just looked at it as a way that a different side of policing, proactive policing, because being my career in the Victoria Police Force and previous to that, the New South Wales Police Force, I was always responding to crime. And I just wanted something different, something very positive where I can go out into the communities and promote Victoria Police and assist people.
Joe, yourself, Crime Stoppers doesn't discriminate whether it's a gay crime or not a gay crime. It's just a crime, basically.
It's just a crime, yeah.
Cool. But having the GLOWs on your side now, it's an education, I guess, for Crime Stoppers to maybe look at it a bit different.
Well, crime we'll always see just as crime rather than a crime committed against a gay or lesbian person or a heterosexual person or an Aboriginal person or anyone in our community. It's always going to be a crime that we have to deal with and gather information from. Yeah, but I guess for us it's a really important relationship because the gay and lesbian community in Victoria is so big, and for us it's another point or another group with which we can exchange information and hopefully catch more crooks, as they say.
Yeah, I can just see that jingle, where in the world is Carmen Sadiego? And you track people down with a net or something.
An important point to note also is that studies within Australia and overseas show that around about 80% or even higher homophobic or prejudice motivated crime against gay and lesbian community isn't reported to police.
And why is that?
Various reasons, what Scott was talking about before. People being afraid of the response, not being taken seriously, not wanting to be outed, not believing that the crime was important enough to report.
Okay, so I'm gay, I've had some type of gay crime committed against me. I ring up the police. Do I tell them what the crime is first, or do I ask to speak to the GLOWs first?
It's really important to stress here that any police person can take a crime report, whether it be gay, straight, based on race, religion, or anything like that. Any police person can take the report. And if you're comfortable in explaining to the police person the nature of the crime, if we're talking about a gay-specific crime that's been targeted because of the person's sexual orientation or gender identity, then If you're comfortable in doing that, then go ahead, bring your local police and report it that way. But we recognise that for some people, there is circumstances where that is a difficult process to go through. And so the GLOWs provide that intermediary role to lessen the, I suppose, the severity and the impact in reporting that crime. Ring a GLOW, they'll be much more sensitive about your needs, they have a greater understanding about issues that are impacting on the gay and lesbian community, and we can provide that juncture mechanism to be able to report it in such a way that you're not having to stand at the front counter of the police station and say, I'm a gay and lesbian person and I've just been assaulted because of it, and not knowing the impact of the police officer or any of the members of the public who might be standing in that public foyer.
It'd be quite daunting, wouldn't it? Particularly if the copper turned around and said, well, that's your fault.
Yeah, and, you know, there's certainly a lot of allegations that that's what's happened in the past. Mm. And so we understand that people still have those memories. And so that's why the GLOWs are there, to break down those barriers. Yeah.
We were talking about what a crime is, because sometimes, you know, I was always growing up with there's blue crimes and there's red crimes, and the red crimes are the ones that you don't do, so you don't murder anybody. But the blue crime, you know, go through a stop sign, nobody sees, you know, so, but you can still get fined or you can still get in trouble.
Who described blue and red to you?
Believe it or not, it was a trade school teacher who used to teach his kids that.
It's an interesting theory on crime. It's not one that I would espouse.
Well, probably not. But, you know, it's like the white lies where you tell someone, you know, you know, do I look big in this? No. You know, it's just like that. So what is a crime, Gabby?
Well, our everyday lives, we're ruled by laws. Everywhere you look, there's laws. Basically, a crime is a certain behaviour prohibited by law and subject to a punishment.
And that punishment can be as simple as a fine for going through the stop sign.
Or maybe even another country, death penalty for murder.
Death penalty for murder. What if I don't know the law? What if I don't know that I'm allowed to go through a stop sign?
Ignorance is no defence.
That's
the
correct.
Way that the law is written. So you must be aware of the laws of the land in the place that you are in. And so it's quite clearly written that ignorance is no defence. So if you don't know that when you're driving your car, you have to stop at a stop sign, which means that all the four wheels stop turning and that you wait and give way, that's bad luck.
And what about the scales of crimes, like your stop sign, all right, or your red light, or you went through on an amber, or you forgot to use your indicator? I know we're sort of in traffic here. Or you didn't return that thing that you accidentally shoplifted.
In criminal law, there's summary offences and indictable offences, and that's probably one distinction between what you would consider maybe a lesser crime and a more serious crime.
Mm. So your summary offences are generally the minor offences, and most of those are listed in the Summary Offences Act, surprisingly. And, you know, they would be things like swearing in the street, offensive behaviour. If you were offending enough people in the street that we could consider that we could get a conviction of court, then that might be considered to be a summary offence. Or posting billboards suggesting that there's a big concert coming up and doing that where you're not supposed to put them up, that would be down the summary offence.
So I should take all my who the hell is Paul Anthony signs down?
You should.
Okay.
A summary offence would probably be blue and indictable would be red.
So your indictable offences, for instance, would appear in the Crimes Act here in Victoria, and those are your serious ones. The theft. Not accidentally forgetting to pay for the thing that you've shoplifted. That's a straight-out theft. There's no such a crime called shoplifting, is the policeman in me. It's a theft.
It's
so
a
that
theft, yeah.
Would be an indictable offence. And then, of course, you know, you get up to the serious end where you've got your murders.
And they're serious indictable offences. They're known as serious indictable.
And what about sometimes we bend the rules? Can you bend the law? Can you bend a crime? Or is it black and white?
It's black and white, but there's discretion in the way that the police can respond to it. So your summary offences, police have discretionary powers, so we could issue a warning, whereas your indictable offences, we have no discretion. We, from a policing perspective, have to respond to those. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't use diversionary programs for indictable offences, so we might issue a caution, but that would, you know, it's an official caution, it's recorded, rather than the warning that you might get on the side of the road for I'm not wearing your seatbelt.
Without going too much into this case, 3AW presenter Darren Hinch is in the news about not agreeing with the law. What if I don't agree with the law?
From a policing perspective?
Too bad.
Yeah. That's the responsibility of government. Government is the different arms of the law, and the government makes the law. Our responsibility is to enforce the law that the government makes. And in most instances, it's easier to say for the police, it's not for us to question the laws that are created. It's just our responsibility to enforce it. So if people want to challenge laws, then there's processes to go through, but that's not the police's responsibility to do that.
So you're there initially to make sure everything's going okay, to enforce the law, or where I guess in your statement it's uphold the law?
Yeah, protect life and property.
And then once that's done, that's out of your hands, and then the courts, courts take over.
That's okay. Right. And that's an important point, that the police aren't involved in the finding of guilt. We will present the evidence from our investigation to a court, for a court of competent jurisdiction. So it's either up to a magistrate to decide, or it might go for a judge and jury to decide the guilt of the person.
What about if I want to report a crime? Is there crimes that I should worry about or not worry about? Like if I see someone go through a red light, should I be on the phone? Hey, this car just went through a red light. Or if I'm seeing someone shoplifting.
We're actually running a retail theft campaign at the moment, trying to gather information on people who do shoplift. So if anyone listening today does know someone who shoplifts regularly, or somebody who's on selling stolen goods or storing stolen goods, then they should certainly call us or get in touch.
Anything else about what a crime is?
I suppose just on that, we've got to be careful about the trivialisation of crimes as well. If somebody's going through a red light and they're placing other people at risk and they're constantly doing that, then certainly that's something we'd want to be aware of.
Yeah.
But for us to be able to present that to court, we're going to require the person who has seen that offence take place give the evidence. We can't give evidence that's hearsay that someone's told us about. So the person who sees the offence must provide the evidence to the court. We can help putting that together.
Well, if anyone says anything about me, it's not true.
Okie doke.
I'll
make a note of that.
Now, Joe, let's talk a little bit about Crime Stoppers in the sense of not only do you try to solve crimes, but you also try to make people aware of crimes that are happening. Hence, you have a certain amount of campaigns throughout the year. The current one you're doing at the moment is shoplifting. My understanding is there are people who shoplift that maybe because they can't afford something, or they're struggling, so they're going to shoplift food, or they're going to shoplift a pair of shoes. But then there are those people who shoplift on a daily basis. It's kind of like their job in order to finance or supply another crime.
Absolutely. We're finding that individuals or groups are both shoplifting. It's not just the person, as you said, shoplifting to help themselves, which is illegal, but it's not what we're targeting. We're trying to find out how much shoplifting is actually organised, whereas where people are stealing either small or large amounts of products to then on sell for profit. So it's actually quite a big business, and nationally it costs retailers in the vicinity of maybe up to $4 billion annually. It's a big crime.
Do they get that back? Like, are they insured?
No.
No?
Most of the time, no. I mean, it has to be recovered somehow, and unfortunately it's covered at the register. It's covered for the rest of us paying more for the goods.
Not a lot of people realise that. They think, I'm just stealing from that particular company, but in actual fact they're stealing from everybody's hip pocket because we're paying the insurance premium at the register.
Yeah, and it might be more glamorous items, like finding out that through a friend of a friend you can get hold of designer sunglasses, for instance, for a really cheap price. That may seem like one item, but there may actually be individuals who are stealing a small number of items from a lot of different stores to then have a large source of designer sunglasses to then on sell. It can be something glamorous like that, but it can also be boxes of staples that are then sold into other stores and then sold illegally.
Illegal staples?
Illegal merchandise, yeah.
Okay. Or particularly, I think it gives meaning to the, where'd you get that from? Oh, it fell off the back of a truck.
Yes.
So that's, okay, cool. Is this huge? How much of it happens that we don't know about? I mean, we know the stuff that's happening. What about the stuff we don't know?
Well, the stuff that we don't know, that's where Crime Stoppers comes in. We're hoping to get some information from the community to see if we can map it out and find out just how big it is, just how organised this crime is. So
maybe someone who's doing it could ring in and tell us.
Anonymously.
my son works in a liquor store for one of the major retail outlets, and he comes home on a daily basis saying, yeah, another one today, two today. So it's happening in his small liquor department next to the supermarket on a daily basis.
That they know it's going, or they catch people?
That's the people that he's saying we've caught, and that you're not allowed to come back again. So that, yeah, that's happening to him on a daily basis as the manager in that store.
And fortunately, we do get some great CCTV footage of people who are in that situation, and if anyone wants to go to our website, you can certainly go and have a look through some of the outstanding crimes and see if you know anyone.
You're not just putting it up there for fun value. You've got it up there for the fact that these people haven't been caught.
Yeah, certainly not. It's not fun. They're unsolved crimes. Yeah. We need people to help us identify.
Are there rewards for people who are solving crimes?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you decide which crime gets a reward and which crime doesn't?
Well, surprisingly, it's actually fairly uncommon that people ask us for our rewards. We do offer up to $1,000 when information directly leads to an arrest. And how do we decide how much is paid and who gets the reward?
I mean, there are some crimes that say they put like $100,000 on this crime because they want to solve it, but then there's other crimes that don't even get that.
That's a bigger issue, and actually I don't know the machinations of Victoria Police well enough to have an understanding how that's determined. I think it's a case that we put to the government that we really need some extra assistance here.
I think so. Those are enhanced rewards, and I think there's quite a lengthy process of deciding. It comes down to the gravity of the crime.
And the impact that it has on the community. That it has.
In the regards to missing people, you've got young Daniel who went missing in Queensland. There's a huge, big fundraiser going on at the moment in support of this missing child. Britt, who went missing and unfortunately they found her body. Those two cases getting a hell of a lot of exposure, but then other missing children and other missing Australians aren't. So I guess that's my question. Why are some of these crimes getting so much attention and so much money put to them, whereas others aren't? Or is that something that the Victoria Police decide on?
A lot of the time it is a Victoria Police issue. From Crime Stoppers, we will try to gather as much publicity as we can for any wanted person. I think if they're wanted for something that's particularly heinous, of course, a lot more energy will go into getting media releases out and trying to attract media attention. But because we don't have any budget to pay for extensive campaigns and so on, we have to do it all on the goodwill of the community and from donations. So a lot of the time, our restraints are budgetary restraints. So if we just don't have the money to get out there and make more noise, then we can only do what we can do.
Mm. And in regards to missing people, some of those limitations are put on us by the media as well, that sometimes a particular incident sounds a lot more sexy for the media and so it gets a good run, whereas other instances it won't get a good run. And it can also be about the requirements of the family, that it's sometimes the family don't want media involvement, that they're happy for the police to do an investigation in the background and attempt to locate this person, but for a whole variety of reasons they don't want that to become public knowledge. So there's a lot of different reasons why some get more attention than others.
In the studio, we do have Scott Davis and Gabby Tyack from the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, and also we've got Joe Baird from the Crime Stoppers Department. We had an email come in from Tim who says, "Hey guys, great hearing you on the radio. On a side issue, 2 years ago, a friend of his went missing. The police, D24 and the Maui sergeant were just fantastic. They were open about their sexuality and could not have done it without Victoria Police support." And he also says, "I hope that the GLBT community support the GLOWS." That's from Tim.
And that's really important, that there is a whole bunch of police out there doing a really fantastic job in responding to the needs of the gay and lesbian community. It's not just GLOWS that are doing it. So I think that's a really important message from Tim there, that there are a lot of police out there that who will respond appropriately.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes. If I want to call Crime Stoppers because I saw a crime, should I?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Is there a reward? You said sometimes there are rewards for it. How do I go about claiming my reward?
When you phone us and give the information, if you actually register your wish to apply for the reward, if we don't know that you're interested in receiving a reward, then I guess you have to ask.
We don't chase you.
You must, yes, we don't chase
you. Okay. All right. Now, do you think many people do actually report the crime for the reward?
We don't see it very frequently, certainly not in my experience. I haven't heard of anyone reporting just for the reward. A lot of the time people really need to get the information off their chest. Most people in the community are really uncomfortable with carrying information that they know is impacting on someone they know or having some kind of ill effect on the community.
Crime Stoppers always says that when I ring them, they're not going to know who I am. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. Unless you tell us who you are when you phone in, we have no way of tracing or finding out who you are. We don't use caller ID. We don't have tracing equipment. And we also have a facility to give crime information over our website. And the data there is encrypted with security similar to internet banking.
So I do recall sometimes Crime Stoppers puts out something on the radio and they say that a female rang up and gave some information. We really like that person to ring back. And I'm like, well, just ring them back.
Right. Yeah.
But no, you're saying that there's no way of knowing. If I call, you're going to know who I am.
No, and actually, we can't say a female. We would say someone phoned in on this date. We need you to call us back. We wouldn't identify someone by their sex bit.
So you've got to be very careful and actually
can't say age, can't have mentioned any relationship to person.
It could place them at risk, so we need to be really careful at times.
Careful of location, relationship, any defining features,
So you really can't know who's calling.
No, it's really important.
I find that amazing. I mean, great, but amazing
as
well. Yeah,
well, it would be really helpful, I'm sure, to the police if we could.
But it's important to the integrity of the program.
The
really
whole
is.
Program relies on that. Yeah. So, and it's not just Victoria.
Isn't there just one person that might know? a higher level with a higher level security pass? No.
No.
Amazing.
It's all anonymous,
okay.
Isn't it?
1-800-333-000. And Crime Stoppers appears on the TV as well?
Yes, we do have a spot. We have a generously donated spot once a week and wherever we can get. It's 8:30 on a Monday night.
Crime Stoppers website. Yes. It's important to get across as well.
There's lots of information on our website. You should check it out and you'll come across a map of Australia. Just click through to Victoria.
Crimestoppers.com.au or 1-800-333-000. In case of emergency...
You always ring 000 in the case of an emergency.
Each and every week here we'll be talking about a different crime and we're going to be actually talking about what's fresh and what's hot, aren't we? So
Absolutely.
Cool. Tune in here at 20 past 12 and you'll either have Scott Davis or you have Gabby Tyack. And me, I'll just stay away and you guys just come in.
Yeah, we'll just come in. We'll take over for a little while.
You just want to do my I Spy, don't you?
I do. It's the only reason I listen.
Sergeant Scott Davis and Senior Constable Gabby Tyack, thank you for joining us. And Joe Baird for Crime Stoppers, thanks for all the work that you're going to be putting in advance.
Absolutely.
And we'll probably be hearing from you as well.
Absolutely, thank you.
You are on Joy 94.9.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
The Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.